My mother has been listening to the podcast, and she used the word frack.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity. Peculiarity. Irregularity. Inconsistency. Incongruity. A rarity.
Hello, and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. This is Jen, and I wore my Han Shot Earth shirt to a gun show, and I am an anomaly.
Hi, I'm Jen's mom, and Jen's father proposed to me during a commercial break while we watched the original Star Trek series in 1969, and I gave birth to an anomaly.
Welcome, everyone. As you've noticed, my special guest today is mi madre. Say hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Mom is standing in for Angela, who is still not sleeping well because she has a baby, as you all know. I just got to see little Russell the other day, and he's starting to get little pudgy legs, pudgy arms.
Aww.
He's just very cute. Usually, newborns are not. They're very squished and...
All my newborns were beautiful.
I think you're biased.
Especially you, compared to your very skinny cousin that was born just a month before you. He was all scrawny and had a big head and...
See what I'm saying?
You just looked like a China doll. Beautiful little doll.
Some babies are ugly.
Mine weren't.
Yours weren't.
I want to make that perfectly clear.
Yours weren't, and neither are Angela's.
Congratulations, Angela.
Our main topic for today will be a BSG debate. So anyway, she's been listening to our discussions on Battlestar Galactica, and though she is not a science fiction fan and does not really watch a lot of anything that involves spaceships or aliens, she is somewhat intrigued by our little analysis of the new Battlestar Galactica. She proposed that we have this discussion. Actually, she said, this is what you and Angela should do. You should persuade your listeners who don't watch this show to watch it and give them reasons why they should. And I said, I have a better idea. Why don't you come and we'll have this discussion together, because I'm in need of a guest host and she's coming to visit, and then voila, here she is. So,
voila.
Voila. You've heard most of our discussions on the shows, and you had a little bit of
and
a problem.
And some that didn't
with...
get on.
Huh?
Some that didn't make it to your show. Like the one Angela was talking about last week, about the original podcast that you did about...
Oh, our geeky celebrity encounters?
And you both talked about how odd it was and how bad it was, because you went on and on about costumes, but I have that. One day it'll be worth...
Oh, you got that episode too?
Yes,
It was bad, right?
Well, no, it wasn't bad. It was just here and there and everywhere.
Yeah, so that's why it didn't make it to the feed. It was not high quality. So before we begin, I'm going to play a pre-recorded Skype conversation I had with Angela and her husband, Jim, about the last two episodes of Battlestar Galactica.
I'm a television junkie, and the real world stumps me. I got a lot of problems.
Shields up, red alerts, spoilers, decloaking off the starboard bow. That was a warning. Fast forward if you don't want to hear it.
Go ahead, Jen.
That was a strange episode.
It was, yeah.
I'm thinking that the only reason they made it was so that Leah Dama could take over as president.
Yeah, well, and I don't remember the last one that I was on the Skype cast for, the cast for, but there was one, I think it was when we first came back from the hospital, because I was so amazed by it, and so I don't think I talked about that one, was the one where they were still on the sewer ship, and I was so amazed by that episode. I was just satisfied. I was so satisfied, and I loved that episode so much, and I was equally as disappointed by this episode.
Hi, everybody. Those who don't know me, I'm the baby daddy. I have to disagree there, actually. I hear a lot of people talking about how there's such a great cliffhanger, and then it's always, you know, Ron Moore's pattern seems to be, you know, that after the cliffhanger, it just, you kind of drop off the cliff, you know, and then it's like, well, what happened? It was a great episode. But I think this was a great episode. I think it was a great follow-up to the cliffhanger. I think, you know, a lot of people's complain, you know, a lot of people who shall remain nameless, Craig, who always say, oh, that's an episode where nothing happened. I think that we all have to agree that quite a bit happened in this episode.
Oh, yeah. It just felt very planned. Like, you could almost see the outline of the story arc. Like, okay, this is where we do this, and this is where we do this, and yes. Suddenly Lee Adama is president, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It seemed very forced.
Yeah. And also, Jim, what were you saying about the cat?
It was kind of weird, but basically the cat was dead the whole time. Yeah, it was one of those little Ron Moore things, you know, where the cat wasn't really there. The cat was dead in the bag the whole time, but only, I forget his name. I want to call him the Jackal. I don't know why. He's the lawyer.
Lampkin?
To me, I just call him the Jackal.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Jackal was seeing the cat, but I'm not sure that Adama ever did. He made the comment, you know, don't you ever feed the cat? Well, no. And one more quick thing on the cat, and then I'll let you guys take it back over again. When they talked about the cat being dead, my first thought was Oppenheimer.
Not Oppenheimer.
Schrodinger's cat. I was like, okay, so is the cat dead or is the cat alive? Well, we don't know. We haven't opened the bag.
Oh. Very good. Very good,
and
Jim.
They let the cat out of the bag.
Oh!
I can't believe you brought it full circle.
That is horrible, Jen. That was really bad. You took us to a place we shouldn't ever go. To Punville. We should never go to Punville. All right.
What can I say? Jim brings the worst out in.
He does. He does that to a lot of people.
Or
okay.
Funville, which is where Adama almost took the entire fleet. Bringing it back full circle again. The Starbuck episode where she wanted to take the entire exploring ship, and I'm blanking on the name now, out to go look for the Battlestar, and then she kind of came to her senses and said, okay, we'll just take a Raptor, was kind of paralleled tonight in that Adama wanted to basically send, you know, everybody, and if I understood correctly, the civilian ships, you know, all to go find the Bay Star or the Hub or Rosalind.
Right.
You know, it was really Rosalind he was after. But he said, okay, well, maybe this is not a job for the civilians and, you know, every single pilot we have.
The other thing was that I'm still trying to remember. First of all, last week, since I haven't been able to talk about it recently, the whole cliffhanger thing was awesome with the Cylon, the hybrid yelling jump, and then that's the end of the episode. I mean, that was so awesome. And I really enjoyed that and thought that was a very cool ending to an episode. And then coming into this episode, a bunch of stuff did happen. I do agree with Jim, but it did just feel kind of weird. I was happy to see Lampkin again. I like him as a character and I like him as an actor. Lee just, I don't know. How do you feel about Lee being president?
You were right when you said that you could definitely see that this was all planned. And it was so obvious that was the direction they were going when the episode started for me. That's exactly what I thought was going to happen. And what happened? He became president.
Right.
I suspected it when he decided to leave the military and become a politician.
Right.
So it's just glaring. And there was a neon flashing sign
but
saying
it
going to happen.
Yeah, it did feel kind of weird to me, though, because I thought that Rosalind and, oh gosh, what is the guy from the original Battlestar named?
Rosalind
and Zarek had formed a mutual respect for each other, and I don't remember that ever breaking down, but evidently it did. That was weird to me.
It's more like a mutually assured destruction.
I guess, but I remember them, like, really getting along or whatever, and then just suddenly they weren't getting along. So I don't know what happened with that and where Adama just... Was Adama refusing to accept him because he wouldn't accept that Rosalind was dead? Or did he just not want him, Zarek, at all?
See, that wasn't clear to me because, to me, I'm thinking if he accepts him as vice president, why wouldn't he accept the man as president?
Right.
Because
and then also, yeah.
He would automatically become president if anything happened to Rosalind, and she's on her deathbed. I mean, this
right.
should have been a problem a long time ago.
Right. They should have been looking at this a lot. But also the other thing was, and I thought that Lee was going to say this, was that what does it matter? I mean, Adama does have a lot of power, but doesn't the quorum have more to do with who's president than Adama does?
I think it's a question that they're on the verge of martial law, and if he doesn't accept it, then he gives
right.
everybody their marching orders because he's got the guns.
Right. I apologize if you can hear the baby in the background. I'm trying to go fast as I can. anything else? What was the end? Oh, the end was so sad. The idea of being alone in space is pretty much one of the scariest things I can possibly imagine. It even frightened me on an episode of of Futurama where Bender gets stuck in space by himself. It made me very sad. And that was just, you know, a cartoon. So this makes me really sad.
You're talking about Adama?
Yes, at the end.
Yeah. Did you listen to last week's podcast?
I didn't. I haven't yet.
Okay, because we talked a lot about that episode last week. And the fact that I said that I didn't think that Natalie died in that scene at the very end, that she would bring, you know, come back.
That was smart.
She didn't die, but she did die in this episode.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Did you notice how she reached out to
Cottle? Because she really died. She knew she was really dying.
Do you think it's going to be, I don't know. I was looking at the previews. Did you see the previews for next week?
Yes.
I don't know if they gave it away that Rosalind is the last Cylon.
They're just trying to say that.
I think they're juking us there because, like we've said, that the final Cylon is not in that picture. The Last Supper picture.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it's Cottle.
No.
That scene up right there. She reached out to him.
I know, but I think she was reaching out for humanity.
Okay, do you have to go?
Yeah, I do have to go. But finish talking to Jim.
Okay.
Bye.
It could be Cottle. And I had, you know, kind of a side thought while you were talking about this. I don't know if y'all have the capabilities of putting into the website, like, maybe a poll. You know, who do you think the last Cylon is? But that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, and anybody that's listening to the podcast would have an opportunity. And I can't.
Yeah, we do have a.
You guys, but.
Yeah, we have a blog now that we can put a poll up at. And that is actually it's anomalypodcast.blogspot.com. And I'll try to get a poll up so you can.
I think that would be cool. Just so the listeners can vote on who they think the last Cylon is. I don't know.
So what do you think? I mean, she was seeing things in that scene where, you know, the Force kind of came into view and she's reaching out. But she sees Cottle when she's reaching out and then there's the Force that flashes.
I see what you're getting at.
He would be the total unexpected character to be inserted as the final Cylon. Because I think that the ultimate letdown would be if they gave us one of the most popular characters as the final Cylon. That would be the easiest way out.
I was thinking it would be somebody along the lines of Tori. You know, somebody who's been in a lot of episodes, but it's kind of on the peripheral.
But she's already been named as a Cylon. So
no, I know. Cottle would be in the same category of somebody who's, you know, kind of on the peripheral, but has
still been,
you know, quite a bit of episode. That's a possibility. You know, that's kind of the criteria that was in my mind that, the two obvious candidates, and I believe Ron Moore has said that one of them is not, would be Rosalind and Starbuck. There was the scene where Deanna apologized, and she said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And that was this was a couple seasons ago. This was right after Deanna had seen the final fight.
Right. Hi, I'm back.
I think she apologized. I'm trying to remember. I want to say she apologized to Starbuck, but I think she was apologizing to the final Cylon.
Yeah,
she was. I think that she was apologizing. That's when I thought it was Ty, because they had just had that scene where his eye got gouged out.
Yeah,
and he killed.
Ellen. Yeah.
Deanna in that scene was apologizing to
a final Cylon. So that's why. Yeah.
So yeah, so I think you're right. It was Ty that she was apologizing to.
Yeah, or it could be or whatever. We brought this up again, but there was. Somebody had put that picture around again. I think those are just production assistants in robes. I don't think that it's any of the real actors.
Someone who shall remain nameless, Craig, who linked the final five, the picture on the internet of the final five Cylons, and it's it's set up just exactly like the scene that Deanna's seen. I don't know if a lot of you,
but it's like the before special effects version,
right? And one of the guy does look quite a bit like Chief. Another, it could be argued, looks like Anders, but then it gets a little bit more tentative, and he has made the argument that the other two are Ty and Tori, but Chief is as far as the guy that looks like Chief in the picture. The one on the far left looks like Chief. The one on the second looks marginally like Anders. The middle one is a female who could be about Tori's size, but that might be another poll topic, whether or not you believe that's Tori.
Yeah, I don't know what picture y'all are talking about. You'll have to email it to
me. Oh, and that went around like when the episode first came out.
It's real easy to find. If you just do a Google image search for Final Five Cylons.
Oh, okay.
You'll find it. Everybody can look at it. It's there's one that's pretty big where you can get like good resolution on a 19-inch monitor and really look at them. And the chief one is the closest to actually looking. So the question is, you know, whether this is an actual picture that got leaked of the Final Five, which the theory is that, you know, Ron Moore would love to do just so you say, well, here, you've had the whole five this whole time, you know, I don't know why you've been doubting me.
I don't think that would have gotten leaked. That's just my opinion. I think it's a bunch of production assistants that they gathered up and said, hey, put robes on. That's my opinion.
I hate to cut you off. There's a couple more things that I was thinking of that I thought were noteworthy in that episode.
Honey, you are talking a lot.
Well, y'all can take back over.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm proud of you. I'm excited.
My name is Baby Daddy.
Honey.
Speaking of baby daddies.
No.
There has been an issue with Cylon mating.
Yeah.
An allegation. I'm trying to think of the implication. They said that Six was pregnant, the Six that Ty has been seeing. And we know that Ty is a Cylon, and we know that Six is a Cylon. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of a question mark there. It's like, okay, where are they going with this?
Do you think that Ty had anything to do with that whatsoever? That was confusing to me because...
I had that thought. I wonder if one of the other guards was getting in there.
Or this was the first time that Caudill tested her, and she's been pregnant since she had relations with Baltar.
Well, that would have been a long time ago.
Menage a trois. You know,
she would have been showing
how long ago that was, though.
Remember,
I guess that was a while back.
When Starbuck was looking for Earth was at least 2 months, so she would be showing.
I guess that happened after New Caprica.
Yeah, it did.
Regardless, that was probably the most important thing, I think, that happened in this episode, is that you find out that Six is pregnant. Is it an immaculate conception?
Interesting.
Or was it Ty and he just doesn't know? He wasn't about to say, no, it wasn't me, because he was seeing a lot of things every time he goes and talks to Caprica Six, he sees Ellen. So, and when Adama was confronting him, he didn't defend himself because he did not know. The only reason he punched Adama was because Adama said something nasty about Ellen.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he has to know that the person who was stooping was Six. I mean, he's seeing things, but he knows he went in there to see Six. I mean, I don't know.
He went in there to interrogate Six.
Right. But it's not like he's stupid enough to think. I mean, he's seeing things and he's definitely a little insane because of his newfound knowledge. Oh, speaking of, I'm so sorry. I don't want to go off topic. But again, in the tracking of the eye acting.
Yes.
Ty, it was so funny when he was calling him. Yeah,
out.
When he was like. You've learned so much about yourself. And his eye said, well, no crap.
Yeah, no duh. No duh. I thought he would say that. As soon as I saw his eye.
His eye says so much. It like acts on its own. It's so awesome. No thanks, Sherlock.
Yeah, I had to ask Angela, because she's the acting expert, on the commercial after this. I said, did they know the caliber of the actors they got? Or did the show, you know, take them to this? I mean... If you've seen Blade Runner, you know what Edward James Olmos is capable of. It makes me want to go back and watch Miami Vice, which I've never seen. It's like, wow, man, this guy is so awesome.
Yeah,
you know? But he's done better stuff than Blade Runner.
That also, but you know, some of these people I'd never seen before. I mean, I guess Ty's been around, and forgive me for not knowing the actor's name. He can, you know, with one eye tied behind his back, he can out-act most of the movies.
That I agree with that. Well, and my response to that question, though, was just that I think actors are good actors. I mean, but sometimes they don't get the right material. You know, you can be a really good actor, but without the right material. And Battlestar is really good material that makes good actors great actors and makes, you know, halfway decent actors awesome. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like you have good actors great and great actors are just fabulous. So that's, I think, what happened. If you have good material, which Battlestar is, then it's easy. Just like I think nobody would think that Katie Sackhoff, I think she's one of the best actresses. And I think that Six, I've said that before because she's a pretty face. And I always worry that people like dismiss her because she's so pretty that, oh, well, she's just a pretty one. And I just think she's a very good actress, too. Grace Park, not so much. I mean, I think she's fine, but she's too skinny. She did. She looked really, she just looks too skinny. That's just my opinion.
Six.
Six is skinny, but she's real tall. So I think it like looks different on her. But I don't know. Grace Park has lost a lot of weight. I don't want to conjecture. It just makes me worried.
Just before we get completely off the topic.
Sorry.
You know, the scene you were just talking about.
Oh, yes.
You know, you've learned so much about yourself. And it takes me to the music. You know, everything about it is just cinematic quality. I mean, you know, the productions and the graphics, you know, and somebody on the, you know, the preview before the series started out again this season, you know, made the comment. It might have been Joss or it might have been one of the other people they were interviewing. He said, you know, every single episode is like cinematic quality. And the music, I mean, just the quality, that scene, it was just like one note, you know, back from that whole vamp they had at the season finale with All Along the Watchtower and that real, you know, grungy, you know, space psychedelic rock. You know, it was like the new Thai Cylon theme song, but it was just that one note that just like takes you back. How they can, you know, create this motive and then come back to it with just the one note. You know, even going all the way back to the miniseries, you know, before anybody was into it, before we even knew if there was going to be a season one.
And that would be Bear McCreary.
Yeah, but
he didn't do the miniseries. But
did you know he's only like 29 years old, 28 yeah. or 29 years old?
That's amazing. He's really good.
Extremely gifted.
Yeah.
Before we close, last week, Kenny and Desi were our guest hosts, and mm-hmm. I asked them if they think the Baltar and Six in Athena, Six, and mm-hmm. President Rosalind's Dreams could be Head Baltar and Head Six.
Interesting.
We don't know who Head Baltar and Head Six is, especially since that last scene we saw Baltar in the corridor right outside of his penthouse mm-hmm. suite that they were blocking off.
Yes.
And he just kind of lifts up in air and turns.
Yes.
So they just left that hanging. Could those be the vision of God that's appearing to them? And so the person that ends up taking Hera in the dream is not actually Six or Baltar, but God.
That's interesting. God. Well, I didn't know how Athena was confused because Natalie obviously had like golden auburn hair, and the Six that took Hera is obviously one of the blonde Sixes.
This came up in our last episode too, and I think what happened was she saw the drawing that Hera was making, and she drew a lot of Sixes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was the line of Sixes
that
Athena decided was a threat.
Yeah, that's true.
One individual. So,
okay. Any last words, Jim? Do you have anything to say about this episode?
No. Okay. I did, but I kind of zoned out for a second there.
thank you for joining us.
Yes,
my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay.
Good night. Bye.
Good night. Good night. Okay. All right. Hold on. I've got my finger in his mouth. We can stop after before that.
For the record, she's not talking about me.
Hello, we're back a week after our last conversation.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's like time has moved so quickly. That doesn't happen in the Battlestar universe, but it does happen in Star Trek. I would like to say that the award for single eye acting goes to Ty.
Well, you're talking about Revelations. Do we want to start with Hub, or we want to
Oh, that's right. We didn't talk last week. Yeah. I am so sorry. I totally forgot about that.
We can just touch on that because really the meat of the story happened tonight, so...
There was lots of meat to the story tonight, wasn't it?
Just when I thought that I had seen the best episode of Battlestar ever last week.
Yes.
Revelation happens.
Remind me what last week was about.
Last week was when Rosalind almost killed Star.
Oh! And which is so funny because I talked to – okay, this is so funny because I had this conversation with Craig not too long ago. Like a couple days ago, I finally talked to him about it. And we talked about the entire episode, and I had completely forgot about that, even though it's like the most important thing that happens. Jeez. Wow. That was a really good episode.
Yes. And Baltar was so awesome. And I mean, just, he was back to being funny, quirky Baltar, trying to witness to the toasters. And
oh, that was awesome. That was so funny. I thought I was going to, well, first, when I first saw it, I thought he was going to like say something so monumental that somehow the toaster would like get a soul and then screw everything up. Like, that's what I was thinking. Like, and then it was just funny.
I think Baltar thought that was going to happen too.
You're right. You're totally right. I'm being so loud. Okay. Move the mic a little more. Anyway, so yeah, that was really good. What else happened last week? Oh, they got the Deanna out.
Yes. And she killed, what's his name?
Oh, yeah, Cavill.
That was so good. Awesome. I love that.
I like that actor, but yeah. You know, you win some, you lose some.
Cavill's gone forever now that they destroyed the resurrection ship, right?
Yeah, I guess all of those models are gone as far as I know. I do want to say, though, that now it's jogging my memory, and I went to bed last Friday night feeling like I had betrayed someone because our hero, our knight in shining armor, I made up a song about him. It goes, Hilo, you're my hero. That's all so far.
That's awesome.
So anyway, that's my Hilo song. But like the one time Hilo's like, well, I'm just following orders, he totally betrays the silence. Yeah. Which is, I don't know, but it was just, I don't know that Hilo, this is just my pickiness, but I don't know that Hilo was the right person to do that because he's shown time and time again that, and this is just my opinion, but he has shown time and time again that he's the one who always defies his orders in order to do the right thing. So it was, does that make sense?
Yes.
And so I was so sad, and it was like this weird feeling like I left the oven on, and I was like, why do I feel so sad? And I realized it's because Hilo completely betrayed the Cylons and thus betrayed me.
That makes total sense.
But anyway, so that, I know that sounds silly, but that was upsetting. But yeah, the thing with the Baltar, oh, that was just, wow. Wow.
Yeah. That was great acting also, I would like to say.
Mm-hmm.
Mary McDonnell and who's the guy that plays Baltar?
If you wouldn't have asked me, I would have been able to tell you. That's horrible. James Callis.
Yes. Thank you.
Ah. He did a really good job. But he always does a good job, I think. He's one of my favorites anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and in the ending, of course, we can't forget that, where Rosalyn and Admiral Adama have that moment together.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Didn't it? That it was so sweet. So very Empire Strikes Back, though.
That's what Jim said, too!
I love you,
Jim,
I know. I love you, it's about time.
Jim said that exact same thing. That's so funny. That's exactly, he was like, I know. And I was like, oh, okay. But in that case, I think, I don't know, the things that she has done in the name of the people and kind of the things that she's sacrificed as far as morality and things like that, it's kind of exactly the opposite of Hilo. And it's made me think, you know, does she deserve to be in love? Does she deserve, you know, when we break certain rules, even if it's for the greater good, we're still responsible for those decisions. Yeah, I don't know. Philosophically, I guess responsible. My brain does weird things.
I don't think she's done that many bad, I mean, she's not Gaius Baltar.
No. I know. I know that.
She almost committed the ultimate sin by taking that patch off of his side.
That's true. That would have been very bad. She did redeem herself there. And the whole thing, I thought it was very interesting insight into her when they were jumping and she was having those visions. Of the priestess.
Mm-hmm.
That was very cool. Okay. Yeah. So I'm glad I remembered some of that episode. So now tonight, please, you go first.
Revelation. And like I said,
spoiler.
Yes. Spoiler alert. We should have said that already. I'll record something and put it in right before our segment.
Okay.
But fracking awesome. How about that?
Yeah, that was...
Start with that.
It was fracking awesome, but it was funny because it was like, towards the end there, Jim and I both were thinking, like, oh gosh, it's just moving too fast. Something bad's going to happen. And then when everybody's all celebrating, I was like, oh God. The happier they get, the worse the next 5 minutes are going to be.
Exactly.
It's just like, they're all celebrating, and I'm like, oh my God. I know something bad's going to happen.
I was like that right before Kara came running in to save Ty. I was like, oh no, Ty, don't die.
I would like to say, though, how cool it is that he, to the end, remained... to the end. We don't know what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
But to this point, which was an important milestone, I think, mm-hmm. he remains so true to that he is a part of the humans.
Yes.
He wasn't making an empty gesture. He looked at Lee and was like, just do it. Mm-hmm. Do it. And I don't know. I just thought that was really cool. Like in the scene where he tells Adama that he's a Cylon, could have played out in so many different ways. And I just, note for note on that scene, it played out exactly, writing, acting, everything wise. I think that it played out exactly how I would have wanted it to.
I agree. I agree totally.
So, because so many times, I apologize, Ron Moore, but so many times there have been scenes that I've seen where I've been like, oh, why did that have to happen? And it's like, oh, okay, the worst thing that could have possibly happened, mm-hmm. and the weirdest that could have, like the thing with Hilo in the one before. And this, here it went down, like everything they said and how they said it was just
perfect,
amazing.
And this scene where an Admiral Dama breaks down and smashes the mirror and screams and throws everything out, that was awesome acting. I totally bought into that. I mean, it didn't look at all like it was a put on, you know, for like there were you know how you get a sense of sometimes, okay, there are cameras in this room and they're filming this man pretending like he's mad. I didn't have that feeling at all. I had the feeling that that man was Admiral Dama, and he was totally just in anguish over the fact that his best friend was a Cylon and he was sending him to his death. And not only that, but it was also, you know, he obviously felt betrayed too, even though I believed Ty when he told him, I didn't know, and I should have told you. I mean, he totally put it all out there on the line, was completely honest with him, and for the right reasons, to save the human race.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, you're right. I completely, that, you're right. Ty, yay. I'm ticked off that none of these people are going to be recognized in any way
for acting
or writing or any. Of course, you know, there is sort of a grassroots element, and they may get something in, like maybe one of the episodes will get nominated for, because that happened to Buffy a couple of times, mm-hmm. where like a couple of episodes get nominated for like a writing mm-hmm. award or something like that, where, but they don't win anything and they don't get any like real, you know. But these, so good. And similarly, but in a much smaller moment, when they came to get Anders and Tyrell, and Starbuck just goes, Sam, mm-hmm. like she had not, she'd been ignoring him. You had not heard her speak his name in probably this whole season or most of last season too, or a lot of last season too. And she just looks at him and goes, Sam. And it's like, oh. That hurts.
What do you think she was feeling in that moment? I didn't know if she was feeling disappointment or fear for his life or betrayal. What do you think she was saying when she said it that way?
No, I think it was, I don't know. I think it was shock. I don't know that she had time to process any of those things. I think it was just shock. And because she didn't act out, because, you know, Starbuck's known for acting out mm-hmm. a bit. And she didn't act out. She didn't try to punch him. She didn't yell at him. It was just, I think she was just shocked. And the idea, and I think that the reason why they had her say Sam is because she wasn't reacting to him as a fellow human. She was reacting to him
as someone she once loved or mm-hmm. loves, you know, and that, I think that's all it was, you know, but I think all the things you said were probably in there somewhere, but I think it was mainly shock. And then, you know, I think she felt when he told her that there was something going on with the, you know, with the raptor. Is it a raptor? It's not a raptor. It's a viper. Mm-hmm. When there's something going on with the viper, you know, the way he was so sincere about that, that she, you know, she was obviously compelled to look, and that's what happened. So anyway, also very interested how all of a sudden the Deanna was able, and of course the betrayal by Hilo probably played into this, but how all of a sudden the Deanna was able to just come in and say and change everybody's mind about how to work with the humans. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, all, and now of course, maybe if Natalie still would have been there, it would have been a different story. Yeah. But you know, she just took over. And oh, that was something else I was going to say about the last episode, is that everybody kept talking about, well, when we get the Deanna is going to do this, the Cylons and the humans. And I'm sorry, had none of them ever met the Deanna? She, how can they not know that she was going to have her own ideas? Because they kind of acted like she was just going to tell everybody who the Cylons were, and that obviously that's what she was going to do the minute she woke yeah. up or the minute they found her. And it's like, what are y'all, stupid? I mean, she is backstabbing, betraying, completely insane. You know, I mean, she's totally weird. And she's ruthless. That is the right word.
Yeah. Well, and so they had the same issue when they plugged the hybrid back in. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
Boy, I mean, what are you doing? Controlling the whole ship.
No, that is exactly right. But it's kind of funny, though, that people, but it shows that people do make those assumptions
yeah.
about things. People and Cylons, I guess, make assumptions about things and. Anyway, but I thought that was good, and I think that they were playing into the part where Adama broke down, mm-hmm. and then where Lee kind of makes the deal with the Cylons, is showing there's the theme that I think is overlying in the whole series, is the idea about the parents yes. dying so that the children can truly take over. That's kind of what happened to Adama.
Yes.
He died a little.
Yes, he died.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. And I think that was a very touching scene, too, with Lee mm-hmm. kind of holding him in his arms and kissing him on the forehead. He just looked so
like
fragile and frail, like an yeah. elderly man, you know,
mm-hmm.
that had fallen yeah. and didn't know where he was. And
yeah.
It's very touching. Mm-hmm. And this is the first sad. Episode where I haven't been put off by Lee being pushed into a position of authority.
You said it, sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. He actually did things right.
Yes.
In a lot of
he
ways,
he didn't
too.
Waver. He didn't wimp out. He wasn't manipulated. He just did mm-hmm. it. And he did it because he knew what he was doing was the right thing to do.
So. I want the Cylons to be very annoyed with Tori and throw her out the airlock.
Yes.
Maybe. I want the Cylons to be like, you're on our side? That sucks.
What would be perfectly satisfying is if Tyrell gets to airlock her.
Yeah, well, Tyrell still doesn't know that she's the one who killed Callie.
Oh.
And that may never come out. I don't know how many episodes they have left to fill. And now the real big question, do we cover everything else in the episode?
Well, we haven't discussed the ending.
Well, no, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Is that make sure that we covered everything up to that, so we can talk about it. So you go first, because I have been with a baby for the past 5 weeks, and so I'm talking way too much.
No,
because
that's fine. Your fans miss hearing from you, so.
Oh, good.
But
I'm glad. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what I was expecting, you know, when they returned to Earth, but I don't think it was the total annihilation of the 13th tribe. I almost expected to see Charlton Heston riding or walking on the beach and seeing Statue of Liberty. And
you and my husband are like linked or something, because that's exactly what he said. He was like, he goes, it's going to be Planet of the Apes or something. And I
And I said, well, I was hoping there would be in the Planet of the Apes motif. Motif. I wish that there would have been, like, when they did the pan, that there would have been something recognizable.
Yeah.
So at least we would have known where the... And I did tell him, I was like, oh, no, it's global warming killed us. But we don't have to go into that. Oh, if it wasn't for those emissions. Anyway, sorry. Bad me. Anyway, but the Geiger counter went off. Yeah, and I think that I had said before, one, I think, and I had been predicting that it was like way before, you know, pre-man that they would have gotten to, you know, like early, because their religion is so similar to like the Romans and the Greeks, that maybe that it would be like that time or earlier. Or I was thinking it was going to be like way post-apocalyptic, which evidently that's what it is. But I do have another question. Didn't they think that they probably need to, if there were people on the Earth, that they would need to be contacted somehow before they just flew a bunch of...
I was half expecting...
You know, it's like, I thought it would be really funny if, like, you know, a bunch of...
warplanes.
They just started, so they just started coming out of, you know, it was like present day, and they just,
Patriot,
you know,
missiles were being shot up at them.
This was, and they all died before anybody even got to the planet.
It was almost like the land rush, you know, in the Old West, when everybody like tore out after their plots of land in their wagon.
Yeah.
That's what it seemed like to me, because there was no attempt to make communications. They were just like, hey, let's just go. Everybody get in your Viper and take off.
And you know, if it was Star Trek, they would have had sensors to tell them that there had been a nuclear war and exactly how many people were left on the planet and everything.
But it's not Star Trek.
That's what I was thinking.
And they also said hailing frequencies open and, you know, tried to.
Yeah.
True. First, but it's not Star Trek, so.
Oh, this is so off the subject, but did you know that Sci-Fi is running episodes of Next Generation?
Yes, I am recording that. In fact, it's a good thing I was home tonight to watch this live, you know, watch Battlestar Live, because my DVR is completely loaded with Enterprise episodes now that I have to go.
I stopped recording Enterprise because I got off and I need to start from the beginning. But Next Generation, they played Measure of a Man. Oh, I cry. I cry every time I watch that episode. And I know, I'm sorry I'm off the subject, but every time when Captain Picard goes, we are here to seek out new life. Well, there it sits. Sorry. It gets me all emotional.
No, you're not off topic. Remember, this is the TV segment, not the Battlestar segment.
That is true. So, anyway. But yeah, and there it sits. I just love the way you said that. And that woman is the whole reason why when I had time to do the RPG, I wanted to be a JAG officer.
Oh, really?
I really love her character.
Treksandsci-fi.com.
The Treksandsci-fi,
which is currently still running, that I moderate, if anyone is interested in going there. But yeah, you used to play a Bajoran JAG officer.
And she was my inspiration for that. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, she got me all excited, and I was like, I wonder what's going on in the RPG. Also, not off the subject at all, is that I think Ron Moore didn't write Measure of a Man, because he didn't come until later, but he wrote a lot of my favorite Data episodes, which is interesting since Data is basically a Cylon.
Basically.
If you think about it.
Basically. Mm-hmm. But you can tell by looking at him that he's not from around here.
Well, he's not a toaster, and he's not... which is funny, because... At the beginning of the episode, the JAG officer says, well, fine, Data's a toaster. Make him report immediately or something like that. She's trying to make a point about something. And I was like,
refer to him as a toaster?
Yeah, well, she did, but she was she was trying to like antagonize Picard.
Interesting.
But I just thought that was interesting.
Nice way Data's to tie it back into Battlestar.
Thank you very much.
Golf clap.
I do what I can.
So, what do you think is going to happen next week? Or, wait a minute, it's not going to come back for what? how many months are we going to be on hiatus before it comes back?
Months? It did say coming soon.
I think Kenny said it was going to be 6 months, 3 months.
Six months? Are you fracking kidding me? Seriously.
I am not sure. Do not hold me to that, but I know it's going to be a long time before it comes back on TV.
Is that because of the writer's strike?
No, it's because of the Sci-Fi Channel. From what I understand, they have this last season, and they're going to you know, hold on to it for as long as they can.
Interesting. Well, I saw that Trisha Helfler was on burn notice on USA. But oh my gosh. Really? Yeah. No way. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I guess it'd be very sad if the planet was just wiped out. I think there needs to be an introduction of native characters, like to add something different. Otherwise, it's just going to be the Cylons and the humans fighting more. Who gets control of the planet? Or maybe the planet, you know, they may not even be able to live on it. But it did look like it was still water planet.
Yeah, it looked pretty inviting from space.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just that one place they landed in.
Well, that's possible. I don't know. It's very interesting.
I bet you a bunch of mutants are going to come out from all the wreckage and surround them with pitchforks and stuff.
I'm just curious to see what time it is.
Yeah,
it would have been nice, like
you said, if they had shown some type of landmark that we can recognize to know A, where it is, and B, have some type of time frame. So,
yeah.
But maybe that'll come later. Yeah.
Just something, you know, Mount Rushmore, like all to pieces, or like, you know, some giant building we know, but just the top of it to show that it had been covered, the city or whatever, it had been covered in dirt or dust or snow or whatever, you know, because time will do that.
Yeah.
Depending. So I don't know. We'll see. There's all kinds of possibilities, which is really fun.
And everyone wants to know what our projections are for the final Cylon. Have you considered that anymore?
I consider my thought is that it's someone we've never met, or that the final Cylon is actually God. That's just my off the top of my head. Not like God that we know, but the God in their universe.
I'm going to throw out a couple of ideas too.
Go ahead.
We know that Six is pregnant. What if the final Cylon was in fact created by Saul and Six? And that.
Well, what about Hera?
Cylon.
What about Hera?
Is half human.
True. So, you're right. Interesting
thought. Could be, maybe not.
No, that's.
And
that's very.
I know there was a theory that the Viper was the final Cylon, but I think that got busted tonight.
I've never heard that.
That was discussed on Rico's podcast, Trucks and Sci-Fi, and I believe it was Chris who brought that up. Just X from the forums. Cool. It was a good theory, and I was intrigued by it, but I don't believe that it actually panned out.
Yes, so I did not hear the theory until after tonight.
Because he was saying that the Raiders, the Cylon Raiders, are alive and sentient, and he was saying, "What if that Viper is alive and sentient?" And
which brings me something from the last episode. One, a cool thing, and also a question. Cool thing, how the when they all went in and blew up the resurrection ship, how they did that thing where they had the cables on. And how, I don't know, I just thought that was really cool. You know, cool fight scene. But then at the same time, they had Cylons there as if the Cylons were piloting.
Yeah, I didn't even know the Cylons had ships like that until that episode. That was odd.
Yeah, I was always under the impression that the Raptors were alive. I mean, and they even talked about that before because they reprogrammed them. The Raptors. Ugh.
Yeah.
The Raiders. Raptors, Raiders, and Vipers. See, if you need proof I'm a girl, there you go. That's not something I care about. But you know what I mean? So that was kind of weird.
Yes.
That they had pilots when they aren't piloted. Right. Or that we knew
Raiders that they were flying. They were some type of just fighter craft that we've never seen them actually use until that episode. Unless I'm mistaken.
Because
if I am, please email us and let us know nicely. Thank you very much.
Oh, tell them to be mean, then we can be mean back.
Mean back when people send us emails through our contact page and don't have the courage to actually type their email address in the field.
We can be mean on the podcast and we can call them out.
While we appreciate constructive criticism, we do not like it when people send us email, like I said, through our contact page and one-line rude statements and do not follow up with a return email address where we can actually respond in a mature fashion.
How many? I thought it was only one that had done that.
But, you know, just in case people in the future have the inclination,
That really upset you. I do have to say, though, that it's interesting. There was an episode of Geeks, I guess, when they got something wrong and they had all these people emailing them, and they said something that was really cool, and I think that all podcasters should tell their audiences, is that there's more people listening than there are doing the show. And there's two of us, you know, and we have X amount of time to respond and research and do all the things we're going to do. And we're not going to research every single bit. Like, we're really sorry we didn't know it was James Callis right away, but what are you going to do? And, you know, somebody could email us about that. But there's only two of us, and there's only a finite amount of time that we do this in, and they have unlimited amount of time, and there's a lot more of them than there is of us, so it's a lot easier for them to figure things out and email us and tell us what's wrong, you know? So I like the way that the Geeks, like, presented that, because I guess it kind of sounded like they had gotten some mean emails from people, and they were very nice about it and were just like, you know, you have the luxury of time and we do not. So anyway, but okay, well, that's the television section.
So do you want to say howdy to any of our listeners who've been wondering if you're coming back, if and you'll ever come back again?
I will come back again. I've actually, things have been going really well. I just, anybody out there who has children knows that infants they demand a lot of attention. And so I've been able to watch Battlestar, which has been very cool, but that's pretty much it. I don't really have time to do much else except for limited amounts of sleep. And again, anybody who has children knows that this is just it's a very interesting time, and it never is what you think, I think. And I doubt that my next child, if I have one, if and when I have one, will be the same as this one. So who knows?
And we're recording. It's almost 11 o'clock at night right now, just for everyone knows. You have a weird schedule right now, right? The baby keeps you up a lot of the time, and right now, Jim is babysitting.
Yeah, Jim is holding him right now, and he's probably really hungry, so we got to figure out something. So I am coming back. I'm still a nerd, and I still listen to all this stuff. And I told somebody, we went to Chili's, and I told our waiter about our podcast. Or Jim did, actually. He was pimping me. He's telling people. So I think it's cool that Jim's proud about my geekiness and my podcast.
Before we hang up, I just want to tell everyone thank you for your emails and your well wishes and all of that stuff.
Oh yes, thank you so much. I'm sorry. That's what
no,
you meant.
I knew you were
a jerk.
You're sleep deprived.
Because you asked when I was coming back and I was answering that question. No, yes, I do. I do appreciate all of the emails. I do not get to check my email very often, and I have 3 email accounts, not including the one that we have for the podcast, that I do not get to answer. Right now, Jenny's doing most of that. So I do appreciate all of the well wishes, and thank you so much for thinking of us. And I did get the personal emails as well, and I hope I responded to those. And if I didn't, I'll go make sure that I do later. So thank you so much, and we're very, very grateful to have our community out there.
Thank you for all the ratings on iTunes, too.
Thank you.
Please keep doing that, because that makes us look important on iTunes.
Well, here we are, signing off. For this section.
on to our main topic. So, where to begin? First, I guess I should start by saying that I know that this is a hard sell. Science fiction is not everyone's cup of tea, and I understand that, so to each his own.
But I used to be a true fan of science fictions that first started on TV, but I got distracted and life intervened, and I just lost track of science fiction. Now I step in 40 years later, and I'm thinking, what the hell is this?
Well, okay, this was just a general statement for everyone who's listening, whose wives may be listening in the car with their geeky husbands or vice versa.
Well, you said in the podcast I heard earlier today that a lot of these science fiction shows that y'all talk about are very soap opera-ish. Well, I am the expert of all soap opera / novellas, so that intrigues me. But all the technical mumbo jumbo
no
is way up here. This is me holding my hand over my head.
Don't worry about technology, because it's not really that much of a focus on Battlestar Galactica like it is on Star Trek. In this show, technology is a bad thing because the Cylons can use it against the Colonials, which are the protagonists. In Battlestar Galactica, the weapons of choice are machine guns and nuclear bombs, which still bad, but not techno-babble related. So technology is a bad thing in the Battlestar Galactica universe. Battlestar Galactica is a war story. It's about genocide, and it just happens to be set in space. It is kind of soap opery, but that's really in the relationships between characters, and there's some romantic relationships going on, and like love triangles and things like that. Battlestar Galactica is different in that, well, at least this new Battlestar Galactica, it's not like the one from the 70s.
From
Not like the one from the 70s. The new Battlestar Galactica.
Your dad really liked that.
Yeah.
I didn't.
I know. Dad likes lots of things that you don't.
Yes.
But
we won't go there.
It has a foot in the door of modern times, like right now. There are no aliens in this show. The enemy that is trying to defeat them are called Cylons, which were created by the humans. They're human. They're not aliens. They wear suits and ties and little red dresses. And so the only aspect that separates it is the underlying theme that communicates a message and the fact that it takes place in space. That is going to turn off some people, but it's not going to be like Star Trek. Your technology worry doesn't have to.
You can scratch that off the list.
Oh, and the other thing about Battlestar Galactica that you might find intriguing is that women in this universe have a lot more power. The president of the colonies is a woman. The ace fighter jock is a woman. And to top it all off, all the most dangerous, smartest baddies are Cylon women. The acting is awesome. It's unmatched. It's unparalleled. Edward James Olmos plays Admiral Adama. Stand and Deliver is probably the movie he's best known for, where he plays a teacher who helps a bunch of students who are considered stupid to become college graduates. Mary McDonald plays the president of the colonies, and she's one of my favorite actresses. She was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress in Dances with Wolves. And there's Katie Sackhoff, who did 15 and Pregnant, an after-school special that Angela really liked. And Michael Hogan, who before this was in Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda Episode 1, Crescent, and a whole bunch of other TV shows and movies going all the way back to 1978. And then there's Trisha Helfer. She was a model, and then I think Angela said she was a dead body on CSI, but they are all excellent actors. I'm always amazed by them, and so is Angela. She really likes Michael Hogan and his one eye and all that he can communicate with it. I challenge you to find a show with better actors.
Well, you've already got me convinced that I'm going to watch it.
The miniseries.
Yeah. And your dad and I started watching as teenagers was because there was nothing intelligent on television. And we were of a generation where, you know, okay, enough of the Ozzie and Harriet, blah, blah, the sitcoms, and the only drama that was on was either soap operas or Gunsmoke. And it was always predictable. The bad guy was going to lose. The good guy was going to win. It went for an hour. So many commercials. Blah, blah, the end. Well, Star Trek gave you free reign of your own imagination by seeing where these characters were going, coming from, and people from other planets and other worlds that talk and intermingled with human beings on a ship. That was very intriguing. That's why we enjoyed it and watched it then, because it was like ours. Okay, this is going to be ours. Not just, but our generation, you know, to start off. And after all, I mean, man had landed on the moon. You know, we were with the program, you know, watching it. Like I said, I just got away from it. And, well, there are so many choices now. You don't have to go with science fiction to watch something intelligent now. But listening to you guys on your podcast, I remember what that felt like to see that, and or to see the progression of from one season to the other. And so I'm thinking, well, okay, but that's a lot to learn. I'm a very busy person. I can't go back and watch for 6 hours to get caught up, but it's something that I think I would like to do.
Okay. Well, that was not as a hard sell as I thought I was going to be.
Sorry.
No, I'm glad. I'm really glad. I remember we had this conversation earlier where you said you had a real problem with Angela and I's description of the six model on Caprica back before the planet blew up. How she had looked down
snapped
into
the neck of an infant.
Yes. You had a real problem with that.
Yes, I still do have a real problem with that.
I think
you'll
watch it.
Try.
No,
try
no. You'll see it.
Sugarcoat it. Go ahead.
I'm not going to sugarcoat
it. She was just being
merciful. At the time, she wasn't being. I don't know. We weren't real sure what she was being. But
I know
the writers wanted to paint the antagonist as cold. And that scene did it. And so you knew that the people that they were running for meant business. These people are shades of gray. They're not cut and dry. You don't always know who's good and who's bad because the lines are very blurred. And it's kind of a commentary. It's a show that wraps current events into its story and hides it in this universe of people who are on spaceships. It's giving people an ability to have a dialogue about things that are controversial and difficult for them to talk about outside of drama. In the real world, you usually can't have a conversation about religion, even between Christians, you know, who are different denominations, about aspects of their faith. In this show, it deals a lot about religion.
I've decided that from listening to you guys.
There's a lot of conversation about religion. There's conversations being had about terrorists. And you know where I stand as far as that's concerned. We don't talk about politics on the show because we think politics is divisive. But this show gave us a different perspective where at least I could see their point of view, although I do not agree with it. I was able to watch the point of view unfold in an episode of this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's little things like that throughout this show that make it deeper. Like I said, there's an underlying theme that makes this show more interesting, not only to people who enjoy science fiction, but it's intriguing, like you said, to people who don't always watch things like Star Trek or Lost or things like that. You know, Heroes.
I watch Lost.
You do?
I love Lost.
Cool.
I'm a pretty cool grandma.
You're a cool mom, too. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to watch the miniseries, and then Mom will tell us what she thought.
If we are even going to survive as a species, then we need to get the hell out of here, and we need to start having babies.
Babies.
Is that an order?
So say we all.
So say we all.
So say we all.
So say we all.
God is watching out for you guys.
Oh,
You have the right to remain silent.
And we're back.
So, yes.
What did you think?
In a word, it was awesome.
You liked it?
Yes, there was nothing about it I didn't like.
Cool.
It was very good.
Good.
Very good.
What did you think? Should we vote for President Rosalind for...
Who needs Hillary and what's his name? Rosalind for president.
Obama, McCain, Hillary.
Whatever.
Whatever. Rosalind for president. So is there anything that stuck out in your mind as particularly awesome?
Well, the... what do you call those other people?
Cylons.
The Cylons are very sexually happy.
Yeah.
They like to fool around.
They exert their power that way, yes.
And Edward James Olmos was awesome, and as usual, and all the twists and turns and things you didn't expect, and the special effects were like, you know, theater quality.
Yeah,
they were really good.
So the technology didn't bother you? It was in the movie?
No, not really.
No. Is there any scene in particular that was your favorite?
Oh, let me think.
You said you liked Starbuck.
Yeah. I liked the poker game where she poked the guy in the face. And you said you didn't really like her.
I don't like her.
I think, I like her.
I like Katie Sackhoff. I think she's a great actress. But the character is like so many people that I don't get along with. I can't really warm up to her. But she's an excellent actress.
She's an excellent actress, and I'm sure she's a feminist at heart.
You must have liked the scenes where Rosalind took control. It was nice to see the contrast between the militaristic standpoint of Adama and the survivalist instinct of Rosalind. There was a nice separation there where yeah. Rosalind's like grounding the vengeful inclinations that Adama has.
And ordering people to hurry up and have babies.
Yes. You do that all the time.
Why, yes. She and I, she should be president.
So cool. So I guess my plan is to buy the box sets so that you can watch them. You can watch them. We'll share them so
could,
you can see
I
them
I could
all.
Rent them out. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
And David totally spoiled it.
Yes, he did.
Darn him.
I want the world to know that my son-in-law blurted out that Boomer was a Cylon. Yes, and there was no... moment at the end
no,
because of that.
Because they showed a clip where all the Cylons, all the models come into the space station where they store all the ammo.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, they show Boomer. Mm-hmm. And my mom was totally not surprised. Because
thanks to David.
David gave it away.
My son-in-law.
And I said, David! And mom said, you're joking, right? Boomer's not a Cylon. There was silence. An uncomfortable silence.
And just for one fleeting moment, I thought you were counteracting what he said by pretending to go along with it, and it wasn't really true. That was my last hope that Jenny was like, oh, David, why did you tell her that when it really wasn't true? But no, it was.
I didn't tell you it was true, but it was obvious.
And she was sucking face with what's his name?
Tyrol.
Yes.
But you already know from listening to our podcast. Maybe not. I will stop right there.
No, the guy that was in the bay, what's his name?
Chief Tyrol.
Chief Tyrol. Oh, that's his name. All I heard was Chief.
Yeah, okay, I won't go
yeah,
on further.
Yeah, with Chief, she was second face.
Yeah, she was.
And so he's a Cylon too? Cylons,
like, You've been listening
even with
to
each
podcast,
other?
So that's not, so I shouldn't be surprised.
No, I thought they just, you know, did it with other species, but they, robots, they want to do it together. Well,
I don't know.
Well, you're the expert here.
For the longest time, I thought they were doing that to manipulate. But then a couple of them fell in love.
Pleasure.
If I tell you anymore, it'll ruin it.
Okay.
And the series is totally more entertaining than the miniseries. You'll
That's
like
what you've said, yes.
Yes.
Well, then I look forward.
Yes.
But see, like I told you before... Not everyone has a 3-hour session where they get caught up on all this stuff. So you need to maybe have a Battlestar Galactica for Dummies podcast so they can get caught up or
well,
tell them where to go to get caught up.
That's what this is.
this.
Oh, that's what this is.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Jenny. Did you hear that?
You're not a dummy.
Say it again.
You're not a dummy.
Okay, if you say so.
Okay. Do you want to talk about anything else?
No.
Well, in that case, thank you very much for being on the show. You've been a great guest.
Oh, thank you for having me, dear.
Everybody was waiting with eager anticipation to listen to the wise words of my mother.
And I hope they weren't too disappointed.
You'll have to come back.
Good. I'm always, always anxious to give you my opinion on anything. You know that.
Of course.
It's been fun.
Well, thank you for listening to the Anomaly Podcast. As always, if you have any comments or suggestions, you could reach us through our website at anomalypodcast.com. That's ANOMALYpodcast.com.
I've heard you mess it up before on those other ones.
Other episodes, yes. But anyway, you could reach me at ANOM. You say it.
I don't know what that is.
Of course, I have to say it without laughing.
Okay, I'll turn the other way.
Okay. As always, if you have any suggestions or comments, you could reach us at anmolypodcast.com, where we have a contact page, or you can email us easily through the website, or you can reach us at girlygeeks, that's girlygeeks with a Z, at gmail.
With a Z.
At gmail. Mom! A lot of this is going to stay in.
Sorry.
I'm leaving a lot of this in. I'm going to start over now.
Okay.
Okay. And as always, if you have any comments or suggestions for our podcast, you can reach us through our website at anomalypodcast.com. That's ANMOLYpodcast.com. Or you could reach us through our Gmail account at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That concludes this edition of the Anomaly Podcast. And this is Jen.
And Mom.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
Ooh.
Your feedback encourages us to continue producing Anomaly. Please consider writing about us in a forum, on a blog, and leave us a rating on iTunes. Hopefully a positive one. And if you're an anomaly or a fellow female fangirl, let us know we're not alone in the world. Anomaly is released on a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 license, which means you have to have our permission to change it or incorporate it into another work.
The Treks in Sci-Fi Podcast.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Sci-fi entertainment news and commentary.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Star Trek episode analysis.
Captain of the USS Enterprise.
Pokey religions and ancient weapons.
Collectibles, toy, and prop reviews.
I am to misbehave.
The weekly Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with your host Rico at treksinscifi.com.